Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Don't raise trees just yet. Sit down and strap in for the Ultimate Super Coach Podcast. It's time to win your leagues and dominate your mates.
This is the Jewel Position Podcast, hosted by Whisperer and Adriana Soros.
The mighty Sydney Roosters. Tumultuous couple of years. A side that's just been absolutely bamboozled with injuries. There's never got it together, but you know the squad on paper is just absolutely world class. Ado.
Yeah, they're one hell of a team. I think over the last recent years, you can't even blame it on depth. They've just had injuries to original players and depth players. It's been such a wretched run. They've overperformed, I think, in a couple of those years. Even probably last year, they looked like the team to beat in the run home, but probably just ran out of puff. They're a good team, and they will be up the pointy end again this year. I have no doubts about it.
Following on from the theme of our ladder predictions being one spot apart, you've got them in second.
I'm not willing to write off the Penrith Panthers quite yet. Two back-to-back premiers. I think that they'll be pushed by the Roosters if they stay healthy. And look, I've talked to a few people who think actually that the Penrith Panthers may miss the top four. I just reckon that's nonsense. I reckon that these teams to me look like one and two. I don't know exactly what order it's going to be in out of those two, but I think number one will be one of them and number two will be the other.
Well, we've disagreed there. I've got them in one, you've got them in two, but one thing we are not disagreeing on is their fullback being an absolute staple in our Supercoach sides. Shout out to the Supercoach Experience, who a couple of days ago posted, I'm sure Sav's posted just to try and get his ownership down. That had to be it. That's all I could think of. But yeah. Teddy, absolute locked into our sides. 730K, just to, you know, every year. You know what you're getting from Teddy.
Yeah. Look, we are in a position where we've got the next two best options that we think of for teams, Tommy Trbojevic and Ryan Pappenhausen, who have major injury concerns. So, you know, even if you're going to take a punt on one of those who might just make it to round one, you've got to handcuff them to a Teddy who's durable. And that's why Teddy, in my opinion, is the best fullback of the last 10 years. I still don't think Tommy Turbo's better than Teddy because I want a player who can play 25 rounds a year, not seven. So I reckon he's an absolute must-have, in my opinion, as your number one, and you can go and get a little cute with your number two. But look, some people have said to me, oh, Teddy's traditionally a slow starter. Well,
rubbish.
Yeah, he starts well enough that it's not going to hurt you versus a Tommy Turbo who might average 5 or 7 points left and always be a risk that he's going to do a hammy. So you lock in Teddy. You don't get cute with it, and I think he's easily going to be someone who you wouldn't really have any reason to, you know, trade out of your team.
If a 70 average is starting slow, then God help me. I mean, you could get cute with someone like a Latrell. I'm just put off by the South draw personally. I know that Latrell showed last year that he was sort of fixture proof, but you know, I'm going to give that one a miss personally. But you know, another guy, Angus Crichton, he is just evolving year on year. He was a dynamic ball runner. He's you know, added better assets into his game. He's a fantastic line runner, big damaging ball player, like 608K. I don't think you're going to lose much value on that. And he's just a very, very steady hand to have in your 2RF. And he does have upside as well.
Absolutely. He's got everything. And he had like a little down period for a while. He got suspended, I think, a few times. Had a bit of an injury, and we kind of started to think that we had lost the Angus that we know and love. Towards the end of last year, he was absolutely sensational. That's why the price tag is 608. I saw him in the World Cup, and I loved everything that I saw from him. If you are not of the David Fifita persuasion to start the year, this would be my guy. If I wasn't going to go David, I would be going Angus in a heartbeat. I reckon he's going to be top three second row forward this year. Well, you've got IPAP in there as well, but I reckon he's going to be in the top three.
He started very slow last year, and we later found out that he had some off-season surgery and in the off-season of last year, and started off really slow, was dropped to the bench,
for
a little bit, yeah, and he was putting up, 40 points a game. So really, really stormed home at the back end of last year, averaged a three-round average of 106 and a five-round average of 94. The bloke came home like a wet sail, full preseason. I'm really, really keen on Angus Crichton. It was his worst year last year in a couple of years, averaged 76 in 2020, averaged 75 in 2021. I think he comes in 8-9 points underpriced because he only averaged 66 last year. I think he's pushing back up that, 73-74 average personally.
Yep. I think he's on for a big year this year. Big Angus.
Are you thinking Joey Manu has another big year, or do you think there is some regression on the cards?
700K. It was an absolute amazing year by Joey Manu. He won. Did he win Player of the Year? Well, for the world, didn't he last year?
I think so.
Look, I reckon Joey Manu. We worried with him being in the centres whether his output was as good. I think last year he even improved in that area. When he got stints in the 5-8 or in the fullback position, he was spectacular. I didn't start with Joey Manu last year. I picked him when I thought he was at the right price. He's not going to be 700K good, is he?
I don't know. Like,
but not to start.
I'm not starting with Manu. I'd much rather pay a little bit less and start with the Valentine Holmes. But like, have the Roosters now found like Joey Manu's best, role? Like having two fullbacks on their side, effectively.
Well, he's an absolute bloody weapon, and they're mad not to use him like that because give him a little bit of free rein to run. He's a bit of a hog as well, so he loves the old hog, and you can't spend 700K to start in the centre wing. But if he got down to, say, I did this with Garrick last year when he got down to he bottomed out at his lowest price. It wasn't super low, but it was a bit of a saving, maybe 100K I think it was on his starting price, and I jumped on him. You had the Tommy Turbo injury, went to fullback. No one thought he was going to do good at fullback, and he did. Now, look, with Joey Manu, he'll be on my watch list absolutely 100%. I think he's going to be an elite center wing for the year. Probably him, Val. I reckon Tottle's going to be up there again this year. I wouldn't be surprised if Garrick's up there again this year because Tommy Turbo will naturally do an injury again. If he's not, he's playing in the team with Tommy Turbo, getting all those tries. So I think that he's going to be there at the pointy end of the season again as top centre winger. I just got to wait for the price to be right. I'm not going to spend 700 on him
for a guy who was considered a little bit rocks or diamonds. Only had three scores last year under 40 points in the center wings. That's pretty good considering he can just go back to back hundreds like he did in rounds 4 and 5, and put on a 130 at fullback during the bye. So it's a lot of money to spend early on, but a guy that I'm definitely on the watch list for. The last couple of episodes I've been talking about alternate options in the halves. I've been mentioning Sam Walker and Luke Keary as, viable options, but you're not a fan of either of the two this year.
No, I'm not. I was not a fan of anyone owning Keary last year, and the fact that he's 472,000 this year. Luke Keary, the time that you saw him doing well for Supercoach was over a three-game period, and other than that, he's never been a Supercoach gun. You got to accept these players that are not a Supercoach friendly. I see him in the same category that Cooper Cronk was in.
I don't think he's the first person that came to mind, Cooper Cronk.
Yeah, I don't think he's good for Supercoach. Sam Walker, maybe I'm being a bit harsh on.
I think you're harsh on Sammy Walks. I'm locking Sammy Walks in for a bounce back.
Yeah, you've locked him in for a bounce back. I think at 544K, the funny thing is that Luke Keary is not very Supercoach relevant, but he is halves dominant.
Yeah, which makes it hard for someone like a Sam Walker. I can't understand that.
Yeah, so that's why I've got them both in my bums. I just reckon they probably got it right now once they switched them back to the right side. And Luke Keary, I think in actual NRL, might have a really good dominant year as the dominant half there. But I don't think it's going to translate to Supercoach. But because of his dominance, I think it's going to affect Sam Walker. And in the halfback position, you know, if you took a Sam Walker, I reckon you're going to fall 20 points behind the people that go Hines and Cleary.
Yeah.
Maybe you're going to be working your way up to those guys, but I don't know. I just don't think, I think they're just, they got these guys like Manu and Teddy and Tupu.
Very ball dominant guys.
Yeah, they've got other guys that are just so good, and it takes points away from the halves. The halves are so good at getting the ball to these guys, you know, and I just don't see it.
No, I can understand that. I guess I'm just buying into to the goal-kicking halfback. And, you know, he averaged 59 last year, Sam Walker. Averaged 62 in his rookie year. Let's just hope he pushes up to a 65 because that would be handy. Look, I would say Connor Watson's the best utility player in the game. Unfortunately, you know, played a lot of minutes last year because of injuries and whatnot, which has inflated his price up to 482. And you and I are both in agreement that this is just way too much for a guy who, in all likelihood, is probably splitting minutes with Victor Radley and maybe a little bit with Brandon Smith.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, well, you got Brandon Smith, who is in fact cheaper, who's going to be taking the bulk of the minutes there. So there'd be no reason for you to be taking him as a bench starter. I was talking to Supercoach Guns the other day, and he was sort of saying maybe this year because of spread of, and you can't have enough, as probably none this year, but also it might be a wise thing to pick players that are all starters in your team. Not necessarily that that means that they're going to get extra minutes, but you pick, we might have to, if we've got, say, three Panthers in our team and they all have a bye, some of these guys that you may not have even put a reserve on, you might have to actually play them in your teams. So Brandon Smith's a much better bet getting bigger minutes than taking a punt on Connor Watson off the bench getting good minutes. No way. You can't risk that this year with the fact that we've got so many byes. And if you've got multiple players from a team, you're going to have to play some of these ones that you never ever – you were like, I'll just have them there to bubble away on their money. You might have to play him.
Yeah. That's what I think, and you and I, we were talking about team structure in the very first podcast of the year about how having, instead of maybe having 18 really good guys, we might need 19, 20 because we're going to have to rely on two or three of our, you know, non-playing reserves as viable options during the bye. You've been harping on about Brandon Smith, and I think every podcast this preseason we'll talk about him, but at 417K, I'm not sure why. I'm seeing a lot of negativity around him online. I'm not too sure if this is coming from sort of the casual fan base that play the game or whatnot, but I just think he's an absolute slam dunk pick, personally. He lost to 2RF, which sucks, but I still think he's an absolute must have.
Yeah. I mean, I agree because he's not 600K, remember? Mm. Like last year we had Randall, who was a midi, you know, what was he, 290, something like that? You know, you're not really outlaying too much money at the 417,000. He's going to a place where he's not sharing minutes with the best nine in the game, in Harry Grant, is he?
No, I think he plays 60 minutes, 65 minutes, and probably he's close to a one PPM a game.
He's the main hooker. He's going somewhere as the main hooker. He's not an understudy for Harry Grant, or when Harry Grant's injured. He's not getting an uptick in minutes because of other stuff. He's the main hooker there. They bought him.
Simply down to price, this could be a hot take, but simply down to price, I think he's much more of a must-have than Harry Grant.
Well, absolutely, because I really don't think you're going to trade him. I think at 400K, he is severely underpriced.
Kiwi?
Just because of the minutes. Yeah, Kiwi. He's not going to play Origin. So you just have him all year long, and I reckon if he's getting 60 minutes, he's going to score 60 points.
Another bounce back, Lindsay Collins. I'm a big fan. Big fan of Lindsay Collins. He's not in my side currently, but he's very, very easily downgradable too. And you mentioned, you know, Tom Flegler, if he can, you know, pull his head a little bit. Lindsay Collins, if he can pull his head out a little bit, because it seems to get jammed in between players' knees and he gets a lot of concussions. So if we can, you know, manage that, I love Lindsay Collins. You know, second year of a major injury, NRL physio has said it many times that players off ACLs, off Achilles, get better with their second season.
Mm.
Big, big fan.
Yeah, well, look, with Lindsay Collins, the simple fact is that JWH has been a great servant of our game, a mug. I'm not a big Roosters fan. But he's winding down a little bit as well, like Josh Papali'i. And, you know, Lindsay Collins was a big up-and-comer before he did that ACL origin, you know, like origin level. So I think this year there could be a little bit of an uptick in minutes. For him, I reckon maybe 45, 50 minutes, you reckon?
Yeah, that'd be realistically, yeah, 50 minutes a game. Like, I'd love to see that from him because he is a guy with a pretty good career PPM. If we can get 50 minutes a game out of Lindsay Collins, yeah, I'm all over that. Love to see what he looks like in the trials. Career-wise, you know, he's played 47 minutes last year, 46 the year before that, 39 the year before that. You know, his PPM dropped off a cliff last year. You know, historically a 1.15 to 1.2 kind of guy. Last year it was down at 0.9, and I'm happy to write that off with the ACL. You know, second year back, I'm really expecting him to get bigger and better, and, you know, he could definitely be pushing that 60 average at, you know, 390K.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, you know, if you're going to spend the money on Payne Haas, you know, you might get something that's 5 points worse
for and it's 200K Lindsay Collins. Cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that can take you from a Sam Walker or a, you know, whoever, mid-range halfback. Jamal Fogarty, we spoke about him the other day, take them from, you know, from going from Haas to Collins, takes you from a Fogarty to a Hines. You know, it's a...
Yeah.
And the points jump from Fogarty to Hines is going to be much bigger than what the points drop will be from Haas to Collins.
Yeah, absolutely. And each year, Supercoach kind of opens up a door for you of where the savings can be had. And I think we've got some nice midi front rowers who traditionally go at a point per minute of over a minute. If you look at them, they're going to get 50 to 55 minutes for a massive saving. It just screams, like, why are you not taking advantage of it?
Bounce backs are hard for the Roosters because none of them are really, you know, underpriced, I feel. But I guess you could group Billy Smith and Corey Allen both in the same mold. Corey Allen at 225K. I'm not too sure what the makeup of the Roosters' backline will be. I think if Paul Momorowski gets the centre spot, it sort of all but kills that. But, you know, you'd think Tupou and Suaalii will line up on the wings. Manu locks down one of the centre spots. And then, you know, you've got a three-way battle between Billy Smith, who the Roosters just, they love him. They absolutely love him, but he can never stay fit. Corey Allen has just moved. You know, Corey Allen played State of Origin a couple of years ago. Let's not forget that. And and Paul Momorowski, obviously premiership winner with the Roosters, and yeah, no, not the Roosters, premiership winner with the Panthers. So yeah, there's definitely some three-way battle going on for that other center spot, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, it is all speculative if he gets it. If he lines up and starts there, they've got him in as dual as well, which is handy. 225,000. Look, I do not rate Momorowski. I think he's a first grader. You know, I think he's a first grader, and I think that he made a lot of mistakes last year. I reckon they buy someone like Corey Allen, probably as a depth signing, but if the stuff looks good, he's a big body. He's a bigger body than Momorowski. So, you know, the Manu's a big body. I think Corey Allen's a big body. It wouldn't surprise me for him to get the run. And I mean, is Billy Smith even fit for round one?
I don't think Billy Smith's fit to walk out of bed some days, to be honest. the bloke is just forever injured. So, yeah, I mean... Corey Allen, yeah, definitely could be a shout. Definitely one to monitor for the trials because he could be a huge, huge shout. But just to recap the Roosters episode, I have them winning the minor premiership. Ado has them coming second. You know, the typical guys, we both love Angus Crichton. We both love James Sesko. We both love Joey Manu at a discount price, not from round one. I'm more keen on Sam Walker than Ado is. Ado's not a fan of Sam Walker. I'm hoping for a 65 sort of point bounce back. But yeah, we both really love Lindsay Collins. I think that's the big takeaway from this episode as to how much we do love Lindsay Collins. If you're going to take anything away from this, you listen to two blokes go, oh, James Tedesco, he's pretty good at football. No shit, Sherlock. But I think Lindsay Collins could be a very, very viable option in your Supercoach sides. And hey, look, Corey Allen, I think he could be a preseason bolter.
Well, I mean, and stranger things have happened, as we've said on other episodes. If he ran out there for round one in the centres, For 225K, you'd be mad not to have a go in that Roosters team and that back line.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, it's going to wrap up the Roosters episode. Tomorrow, I think we'll be back with the big Bulldogs, Belmore boys. They made a lot of signings. So, be very, very excited to talk about the Bulldogs, mate.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a big moving year for a couple of teams, and they're one of them. Some really astute purchases for them. Doggies fans should be excited.
Yeah, very, very excited. And I'm excited to talk about them. So, I'll see you tomorrow, mate, and we'll talk then.
No worries. Thanks for having us, guys.
Have a good one, guys. Have a good one. See ya.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.